You've believed lies that the world has told you over the things that God says. It's time for a change so that we're dressed for battle. Who here has ever handled a pocket knife? Raise your hand. Every man in the room should raise your hand. Raise your hand. Come on. Your arm's not asleep. Okay. I carry a pocket knife just about every single day, unless I'm going on a flight somewhere. And I use it as a tool. I don't use it to, I'm not like shanking anybody or, you know, stealing somebody's wallet. But I use it as a tool all the time. Like, for instance, last week I was with one of my granddaughters and she wanted a color. So we brought out the crayons and they were dull, like almost to the paper. You remember the old Crayola ones? And it's almost to the paper. So I did what every logical man would do. I busted out my pocket knife and I'm whittling some crayons, and there's now crayon on my pocket knife, and it's just part of me. I'm looking at her, and she's two, and I'm like, whatever boy you date had better know how to handle a pocket knife. I'm showing you what a man does right now, because you got to train him up early. So I'm whittling these crayons away, and it was just part of who I am. So much so that actually I lost my pocket knife last week, and I was yelling at my wife naturally. I'm like, where is my pocket knife? And it went through the wash to wash all the blood off, clearly. And I finally found it. And when I found it there on the dresser, I was just kind of caressing it. I'm like, I found you, my precious. You know, I was so excited to see it. I missed it. It was like part of me now. I've carried a pocket knife so many years now that it's just part of who I am. I was thinking of that in regards to our message today, as we continue our series, Dressed for Battle. I want to ask you this question, and I really want you to think about it. When was the last time you picked up your Bible? Would you miss it? I know we have Bibles on our phones now. I like the real thing. I like the real printed version. I like to feel it, I like to see it, I like to write on it and mark it up. I have a Bible that I've had for 30 years that my kids have drawn in because they got it when I wasn't looking. Would you miss it? If your Bible disappeared, would you look for it? If someone was to ask you what was in it, would you know? For some, yes. For many, no. And today, as we continue our series, Dressed for Battle, with all the other pieces of armor that God gives us one offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we would not ever go into battle without it. And so today, as we get into God's Word and we learn from it, I'm just going to tell you right now, this is going to make you uncomfortable. If you don't love God's Word and you don't read God's Word and you call yourself a Christian, this is going to convict you. This is going to make you uncomfortable. And you know what I say to that? Good. Good. It should make you uncomfortable because it's the Word of God. And so today we're going to learn that it's time to take up the sword and fight. Everyone say fight. You are in a battle, you are in a war, it's time to take up the sword and fight. No soldier wins a battle without first taking up his weapon. You've got to take up the weapon. And so we as Christians, we got to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So let's remind ourselves this morning of all of the pieces of armor that God has given us that we should put onto our person. And let's look at the next step, which he tells us to take is our weapon that he's given us for the fight. Ephesians chapter 6, it says this, finally, be strong in the Lord. Everybody say, be strong. Not my power, it's his power. And put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. I'm going to read this passage in this series every single Sunday until you get it all in your heads and in your hearts. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world. And against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. You and I need to know that there's evil out there, and the enemy constantly wants to trip us up, tangle us up, put us under bondage, put us under shame and guilt, put us under the bondage of sin in our life, and we need to wrestle against that. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, not just part of it, the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth. Everyone say truth. There's a lot of lies out there. How many know that? There's a lot of lies. So you need to have the belt of truth, and we get that from God's word, buckled around our waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place. It's not my righteousness, it's his. He's given me that gift of his righteousness. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Did you know that the good news, the gospel, the story of Jesus is actually a message of peace? Not just a peace between nations or people, but the most peace that we're, the peace that we really need is this, peace with God. And so we have the gospel of peace that tells us how to be at peace with God through relationship with Jesus Christ. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith in which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I don't know if you experienced this week the attack from the enemy shooting his arrows at you, messing with your mind, trying to get you to trip up in your faith, trying to get you addicted to sin, trying to get you to turn your back on God, trying to get you to fall back into the old ways. Don't give in. Take up the shield of faith and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Everyone say sword, which is the word of God. The word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's time to take up the sword. In fact, I'm going to tell you this, and I don't want you to be shocked by it, but I want you to be a little uncomfortable in your comfortable chairs about it. And that's this. If you leave your sword at home, don't be surprised when you lose the battle. We often neglect this, the word of God, and then we can't figure out why we keep losing the battle. And then we get mad at God and we blame God. God, it's your fault. I can't believe you did this to me. I can't believe this is going on in my life. God, I thought you loved me. And we've left our sword. I won't make you raise your hand, but I wonder how many of you have actually read this cover to cover. To know the sword. I want to answer this question this morning as we think about this and the importance of what I'm talking to you about. And so let's answer this question this morning, and that's this. Why should you take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God? Too many Christians have gone to battle and they've left their sword at home. You've just forgotten about it. You've neglected it. You haven't read it. You haven't studied it. You haven't memorized it. You haven't applied it to your life. Pick up the sword. If you want to win the battle, if you want to be dressed for that, you have got to have a sword. You've got to have a sword. And God gives us one. It's his word. Why should we do that? Well, there's many reasons I could give you this morning, but I want you to hear this, because there's promised freedom in knowing the truth. There's promised freedom in knowing the truth. I want you to imagine for a second that you have been kidnapped, okay? Like, seriously, you've been kidnapped. Maybe you've been kidnapped by the cartel or some human trafficking ring or something serious that actually legitimately is happening today. And you are held in somebody's basement, and you're tied up, and you don't know how to escape because this person has totally taken you captive. But right next to you is a knife to cut your bindings and a key to unlock the door. But you never pick it up. You're just in there in the darkness, like, well, I just wish I could get out of this. I wish I could get free. And there's the knife and there's the key. There's the sword and there's the way out. That's what it means when a Christian never picks up the sword of the Spirit. We keep ourselves in captivity, and we keep ourselves in the binding of the enemy. We keep ourselves under the oppression of him who is the deceiver. And we, all along, right next to us, was laying the key, was laying the sword to cut the bindings, the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. We need the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Jesus said, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings." Do we have it here on the screen? If you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Everybody say, know the truth. You'll know the truth, not just the world's truth, not truth that you make up for yourself, not truth that you've Googled or you found on AI or some wives tale or some old-fashioned recipe. No. The truth of God's Word. When you know the truth will set you free, because there's freedom in knowing the truth. It's time to pick up the sword and let it cut away the bindings of the enemy. We need it. And it's sharp enough to do the job. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful." It's not a dead book. It's not an old-fashioned book. It's not just meant for back then. It's alive now and powerful now. It is sharper than any, in the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes the bondage that we have in our life. It exposes the lies we've been believing. It exposes the doubt that we have. And when we read it, we learn it, we know it, and it begins to cut away. God says, "Listen, I don't want that to be part of your life anymore." And the Word of God tells us, "Oh, I should make a change. God doesn't want that in my life anymore." So the question is, why do we leave it sitting there when freedom is promised? It's promised to us. When you know the truth will set you free. Some of you have been living in bondage for far too long, in your mind and in your spirit and in your life, and all you've needed to do all along was to pick up the way of freedom and let it cut away the bindings that the enemy has held you fast with. We leave it sitting there way too long. I had this kind of daydream the other day while I was driving with my eyes closed. And I imagined us getting to heaven. And if it were possible, some of you would maybe have this argument with God. You say, "God, look at all the things that I did. Look at how much money I made. Look at the nice house that I have. Look at how successful of a career I did. Look, I was kind of nice. I gave to Salvation Army, and I was on the setup team at Fusion Christian Church." And God's like, "Hmm." And then the guy next to you is like, "Totally different. It was too hard, God. My life was too tough. It was too hard. I didn't have time. I was too busy dealing with all of the afflictions and the problems of life. And your word was too complicated. I couldn't understand it. I tried reading it. And when I got to, you know, Leviticus, I was like, I'm out." And I didn't know what to do. And then God's sitting there. He's got his arms folded. And he looks at us. He goes, "Well, I was thinking about that, you know. What do you think about my book?" "Well, I just..." "Your book?" Yeah, it was the bestseller of all time. "Of all time, it's the bestseller of all time. My book." "Oh, yeah, I owned a couple. And I had them at the house. And sometimes I'd carry it into church. But it was really difficult to understand. And I was really busy, you know, doing all the things that I had to do in life. And then God just kind of patiently listening to us. And then he's like, "That's just too bad. Because in it, I told you the true meaning of life. And in it, I explained to you the way of victory. And in it, I gave you joy and peace through the power of my Holy Spirit. It's too bad." Don't let that be you. Too often we get it, but we don't have anything to do with it. A pastor once said this. He said, "Let it never be said that God has recorded a truth in his word that you have never read." today, Sundays, can't be the only time you get God's word. Don't put that pressure on me. It's too much. It's got to be more. We've got to take up the sword. You see, picking up the sword protects us from believing the lies. Anybody here ever believed a lie? Anybody here believe something that they thought was in the Bible but actually wasn't? I've mentioned this story before. Many, many years ago, we moved out of a house, and my wife, if you don't know my wife, Laura, you'll know that she's a clean freak. She loves everything clean. And when we moved out of the house, she had a cleaning party to clean the house we were moving out of. Like, that's how clean it was. And the lady was mad that we were leasing from, and she said, "You guys left the house filthy." And I'm like, "Well, that's blasphemy. That's definitely not true." Like, I know my wife. She was probably cleaner than we moved in. And she's like, and she was like getting mad at me on the phone. And she said to me, because she knew I was a pastor, she says, "Don't you know that cleanliness is next to godliness?" That's not in the Bible. No, it's not in anywhere. I've read it. You're shocked to know I've read this book. It's not in there. And we've often believed lies that aren't in the Bible. And sometimes we believe lies that are detrimental to other people. I got a call from a pastor this last week, and he said one of his dear members of his church was just diagnosed with cancer. And so he is digging into the Word and trying to get to know more about God's Word. You know, sometimes crisis will do that. All of a sudden, oh my gosh, I better start reading. And he's like in a life-changing situation. Well, he's got another friend who goes to another church who's a Christian who calls him and says, "I just want you to know that the cancer you have is a demon." And he says, "Cancer is one of the devil's strongest demons, and we just need to cast it out." I want you to know right now, maybe you thought that. That's in the Bible zero places. That's not true at all. That's a lie. And so this guy's texting the pastor saying, "Is that true? Am I like demon possessed because I've got cancer?" No, that's a lie. And we believe things because we don't know it, and we need to know the truth so well that we can spot a lie a mile away. Bible says in 2 Timothy, Paul's giving his charge to a young pastor named Timothy. He says, "Listen, I charge you, and I do this to you today. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word," not your made-up ideas, not your version of the truth, not what you feel should be right, but what's in the word of God. "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort." You know what reprove means? Many of you don't know what that means. You're going to go home and like, I reprove you in the name of Jesus. It means to dislike and to disapprove and to tell them that you disapprove of their actions. That's what it means to reprove. "Rebuke and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For a time is coming," which is right now, by the way, "when people will not endure sound teaching." You know, there's a lot of people that be really mad about my message right now. "They'll not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears that they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to what? The truth, and wander off into myths." Are we not seeing that in our culture right now? "But as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." This doesn't just go for pastors. This goes for every Christian. We got to know the word. You have to know and pick up the sword. And we need to be ready with the sword, the word of God, so that we might do those things, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching, which is what I'm doing to you right now. So that you might know the importance of the truth of the word of God. How are we going to be ready to combat lies if we don't know the truth? If we're not in it, if we're not picking up our sword, if we're not reading it, there has never been a time in history where the Bible has been so available to society. You can listen to it while you drive. You can play my sermons on repeat. You can read it. You can write. You can watch cartoons of it. You can get it, and you can put it into your life. And I think that's why it is a sin for us as Christians to not know the Word of God when it is so readily available. I know stories of churches in communist China who would have pages passed between hidden church and hidden church that were torn out of the Bible, and they would pass the pages of the Bible to the different groups of the church, and they would memorize the pages, and then they would pass it on to the next church. Because they wanted to know the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. They wanted it in their life. You see, knowing the truth keeps you from being ashamed of the lies that we tend to believe. You know, and a lot of that has wormed its way into the church, I'm sad to say, where churches are teaching things that are contrary to God's word, contrary to his truth of life, contrary to the Spirit of God, and they teach it as if it's gospel. But when you read the word, you go, no, something's wrong here. And when we know the truth, it keeps us from being ashamed of the lies. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Everyone say approved. Approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Rightly handling the word of truth. I would say for many Christians that they don't even know enough of the truth to tell me what are the books of the Bible. Just a simple question. What are the books of the Bible? See, we have David and Bartholomew, and Second Hesitations. But we need to know the Word of God. And I'm telling you, I've been a pastor for 26 years. I'm still learning the Word of Truth, sword of the Spirit. I'm still trying to sharpen that blade in my life to present myself as one approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Would you be ashamed of your work in the Scriptures? That's a challenging question, isn't it? Would you be ashamed? There's been many times in my life where I would be ashamed. God, I have not given it the attention that it so deserves. I have not picked up the sword to rightly divide the word of truth. I've been watching the great theological and spiritual show, Gold Rush. It's just on reruns. And it's basically the same episode every time. They just dig out dirt and they put it in the machine and they find the gold. Now, I like big tractors and I like dirt. I like all that stuff. So to me, it's cool. I'm like, that's cool. And sometimes my granddaughters get on and we watch tractors together. We're watching the tractors. And they move an enormous amount of dirt, an enormous amount of dirt to get to a little bit of gold. But they're willing to put in the work because they know how precious it is when they finally get to it. And that should be you and I when it comes to the Word of God, that I'm willing to put in the work so that, because I know how precious the gold is when I get to it. When I finally get to that part that God really speaks to my heart, God, I needed that. And I'm willing to dig it out as a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who rightly divides the word of truth. Because it prepares you to fulfill God's purpose for your life. That's what it is to know God's word and to know his truth. It prepares you to fulfill God's purpose. Not your purpose, God's purpose. Many years ago, my wife Laura and I, we hiked up Half Dome. I don't know if any of you have done that, but it's quite the undergoing. Now, we decided in our great wisdom to do zero training. We're gonna hike Half Dome. I mean, how hard is it? It's only 15 miles round trip. It's only about 5,000 feet and change of elevation. What's the big deal? We don't even really need water. We're just going to do it. We're going to teach all these adventurers how it's done. And so we hike Half Dome. Lord Jesus, that is a monster. And we got up to the top, and we're like, we made it. It was so bad that on the way down, my wife had to lay down and take a nap. I'm not kidding. We started in the dark, and we ended in the dark. 5 days later. We were unprepared, woefully unprepared for the adventure we were undertaking. Many of you, because of your lack of desire and discipline to get into the Word of God, are woefully unprepared for what the enemy is going to throw at you. In fact, when you face life without knowing God's Word, you are woefully unprepared for the battles that you'll face. You're going to the battle without the weapon that God has given you. And you're woefully unprepared for the obstacles that are coming your way. The Bible tells us that God's Word is beneficial for all areas of our life. It says in 2 Timothy, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed. That means it's inspired by God, by His Holy Spirit, and is useful. Everyone say useful. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why? So that the servant of God, that's you, that's me, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every good work. And when you take up the sword of the Spirit, God's Word becomes your delight and your life. It equips us for every good work, and it becomes a delight to our life. Too many people will pick up this and, oh, it's just so boring. Find someone, go on Audible and find the Bible and get somebody with like a British accent or something. And I don't know what you need, but you say, God, open up my ears and open my heart, because I need to start picking up the sword. I need it to be my delight and my life. Instead of a drudgery and a burden. The Bible says in Psalms 1, it says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. You know what the wicked do? They ignore the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We don't want to walk in step or stand in the way of sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. We don't need the Word of God. Let's take it out of our schools. Let's take it out of our courthouses. We don't need to know anything about God. Let's make it illegal. Let's make it illegal for them to preach it. Let's get it out. That's what sinners and the wicked want to do. But not you, because you're the ones who delight in His law and meditate on it day and night. That person, the Bible says, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. You become like a green tree planted by streams of living water, and your life becomes strong, and your faith becomes strong, and it powers your life, your faith life, because you're taking up the sword of the Spirit. You're knowing the truth. And that truth is setting you free from the bondage that the enemy has for you. And I'm wielding the sword of God. Why? Because I'm taking it to heart. I'm learning how to manage it. I'm learning how to use it. And God is blessing my life because of it. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, it says, my son, pay attention to what I say and turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. They are life to us. These words give us life, and God speaks his life into us when we begin to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You should be handling, and I encourage you guys all to get a real Bible with pages that turn and everything. And read it and mark it up and underline things and highlight things and use it so much that the pages fall out. I've had to tape this Bible several times. They need to fall out. I need to start wearing it out. So I need to buy a new Bible. My original Bible that I had going through Bible college, my wife gave me as a wedding present. That's how spiritual we are. She told me she got a holy gift, and that's not what I thought when she gave him the Bible. It is literally taped together. I don't say that in a braggadocious way because, listen, there are so many guys that have a brain to memorize Bible. I have literally memorized hundreds and hundreds of verses. I can't tell you where they're at because my brain does not trigger with those things. But I can tell you what the truth is. I can tell you if it's in the Bible. I can tell you what the Word of God says. I know how to handle the sword. Why are we so surprised when the enemy beats us to a pulp, captures us to become addicted to sin and addicted to shameful things and wandering away from the truth? Why are we so surprised when we're not wielding the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? Don't be surprised that you lose the battle when you haven't used the weapon that God gave you. We need it in our life. And my encouragement to you today is to take up the sword. I challenge you, I implore you to start getting into the Word of God. If we had a church where everyone began to love the Word of God, I'm telling you that this theater would not contain us because of what God would do. Maybe some of you this morning need to repent to God because you've ignored his word. You've ignored it. You've believed lies that the world has told you over the things that God says. It's time for a change, so that we're dressed for battle.